If your Bible, let's turn to Psalms 32 verse 1. Okay, there are two portions of scriptures that I want you to read. Psalms 32 verse 1 and Revelation chapter 17 verse 12 to 14. I read to you Psalms 32 1 first. How blessed is he whose sins is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Revelation 17, 12 to 14. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings which received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beasts. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Father, anoint this word right now. Jesus' name, I pray. I'm going to talk about the title, The Faithful Followers. The Faithful Followers. You know, there was a campaign that was done by an online agency offering a dating service for married men and married women who wanted to have an affair. The agency is by no means alone in this market, meaning to say there are other agencies, they are executing the same manner. What was different is that they executed an extensive advertising campaign, specifically on massive billboards along the motorways, along the highways, with this slogan, "The grass is always greener." Essentially, they are making money, okay, feeding on people's weaknesses and helping them to be unfaithful. This may seem attractive, but the reality is that it caused ruins in the lives of individuals involved, as well as the lives of their partners, their families, and their children. The media, okay, today's media is a very scary thing. It has become a source of sex education, filled often with inaccurate portrayal of sexuality. The theme of books, the plots of movies, the television shows, and the lyrics of numerous songs all demonstrate a permissive sexuality among consumers. The media suggests that uncommitted sex or hookups can be both physically and emotionally enjoyable and occur without strings attached. However, this is further from the truth. My concentration this morning is not on sexual unfaithfulness, though included, but rather in unfaithfulness or faithfulness in all aspects of one's life. The title of my sharing is The Faithful Followers. The unfaithful, if you notice, the unfaithful always manifest these characteristics. The unfaithful are the faithless. They manifest certain characteristics, whereas the faithful followers have the approval of God. Psalms 35:28 tells us that the tongues of the faithless, the unfaithful are faithless, and their words, the tongues of the faithless, spread lies, rumors, and bitterness. But the tongues of the faithful followers tells of God's righteousness, tells of the righteousness of Yahweh and His praise. You know, Jesus put faithfulness on the same level alongside justice and mercy. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus wrote, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mints and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." What is the weightier matters of the law? Judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. In this verse, Jesus has elevated faithfulness alongside justice and mercy. You know, faithfulness is so powerful, so important. I will show you. Mother Teresa said, "God has not called me to success, but to faithfulness." Revelation 12:17-14, I read again. The ten horns which you saw are the ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. But that means in the last days, they will arise these ten kingdoms. But they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. As kings with the beast, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called, chosen, and faithful. See, it's still mentioned again. Faithful, and this is the last end of the Bible. We all know that the 10 horns and the 10 kingdom will be formed by the Antichrist in the end times, which I believe is coming very soon. And they will make war with Jesus. But take careful note of those who are with Jesus. The Bible tells us that there will be a group of people that will be Jesus. They are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. It is so wonderful to know that when Jesus comes back to earth, with Him are the called, chosen, and faithful. We are called to be children of God through Jesus Christ. We move to a higher level by being chosen to dedicate our lives to be to the service of God. But the people that persevere to the end and make Jesus proud are not the successful, but the faithful. These three epithets, called, chosen, faithful, describe the progressive life, okay, of those who share in Christ's victory. They are called, as all men are called, to serve Him. Having heard the call, they dedicate their lives to His service and become the chosen servant. And having remained faithful, they share in His victory. Therefore, faithfulness is something we should strive for in marriage, in friendship, in workplace, in the church, in our relationship with God. Let's apply this truth to each and every one of our lives. The call. We answer the description. We are the call. So far, so good. We are the avowed Christian people of God of our day. We have been called by God's providence, by His Spirit, through His Word, His ministry, and the manifold grace of God. And we are in His church. We are in this church today because of it. I can safely say that all of you, practically all of you, in this church qualified to be the called. Chosen. Are we this? It does not follow that we are chosen because we are called. It is not true. All the chosen are called, but not all called are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. The Bible says that. How then will we know that if we are the chosen? Not by frame, having this form of godliness. Not by feeling, oh, I feel that I'm Christian. Not by position, oh, I am a recognized communicant. Okay, I'm a good communicator. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. Therefore, I am the chosen. I'm not saying that all these count for nothing as evidence of our Christian standing. It does count something, but in itself, it's not sufficient evidence as to whether we are chosen or not. And not by church even, attendance, not by Greeks even, not by doctrine. Church and doctrines have few many churches, but not all are certainly chosen. So how may we know that we are chosen? We are chosen if we are faithful. Number three, if we be of those who are faithful, called we are, chosen we may be, faithful then we are of the chosen too. This and only this is a proof. It's a proof. How do I know that you are the chosen? By your faithfulness. This of old, true faithfulness, through the Lamb of God, overcome. That's why Paul said, my brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and your election, that means being chosen, sure. Paul emphasized this to himself. I do not want to preach the gospel and one day become a castaway. I just want to admonish every one of us in the midst of this changing world that we are in. It is the faithful followers that will receive the greatest honor. Jesus said untimed times in the Bible, welcome thou good and faithful servant. Welcome thou good and faithful servant. They have been faithful over little. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Psalm 32 verse 1 says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The word blessed, how blessed is he, is mentioned 26 out of 45 times in Psalms. And it's a recurring theme in the wisdom literature, Songs of Solomon, everything, Proverbs, Psalms. Okay, these are the words of wisdom of literature and describe the faithful followers. Who then are the faithful followers? Who are the faithful followers today? Number one, they are disciplined by Shaddai. Job 5:17 says, "Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." I just want to tell you very, very frankly, I always felt that those who are disciplined by God have hope. But those not disciplined by God are in greater danger that they have been given up by Shaddai. To be very frank, I surely thank God, sincerely thank God for the discipline of life. Because if not, I do not think I will make it to heaven. I also wouldn't think that I will become a better person. Job 5 asserts the central theological position of the two ways. What are the two ways? In this life, the righteous will be blessed and the wicked punished. In this life, the righteous will be blessed and the wicked punished. The word righteous means the righteous will be vindicated. The righteous will be vindicated. It's surely God's way with human. But the good news, even if we fail, is that God will freely and joyfully forgive those who repent and turn back to Him. This verse focuses on the blessing of the discipline of life. In Hebrews taught, God is the single cause of all things. God is the single cause of all things. This is a theological assertion, not a philosophical assertion. God is not the source of evil. Okay, God is a source of, is a single cause of all things, but He's not the source of evil. But He uses evil, He uses suffering, He uses pain, He uses unfairness in what we go through in life to mature each and every one of us, His followers. Hebrews 5:8 says, Jesus Himself was perfected through the suffering, by the things He suffered. Note the contrast. Happy is a man whom God reproves. So you thank God if you are reproved by God. Do not despise the Almighty, the discipline of the Almighty. The word Almighty is a noun and it means Shaddai. In the ancient Hebrew, and according to the rabbi, it is translated as self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. It comes from the Hebrew root S-H-D-D. Okay, I don't know how you pronounce it. There's no vowel there. Okay, it means destroy, ruin, despoil. How true it is. God has meant, you felt many a time that God has destroyed, ruined, and despoiled my life. It also comes from another Hebrew word, SHD. And here it means a woman's breast. Or God is the nurturing one, or God is my protector and my provider. Wow, how true that in the midst of discipline, I truly felt God nurturing me. And at the same time, in the midst of discipline, when my enemies went overboard, God was my protector and God was my provider. So these two verses makes a few points. Number one, the faithful follower did in the past, do in the present, will in the future, will suffer in this fallen world and at the same time, many a times at the fault of theirs. B, God is with them. And through this affliction, sometimes He chooses to miraculously deliver you. But often He does not. If He does not, His presence is your greatest need and your greatest promise. He knows what you are going through and He is with you. If He did not deliver you, He is with you and is for a purpose. Number two, studies and walk in God's word. Psalms 1:2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doeth He meditate day and night. The faithful followers studies and walk in God's word. It is not just devotional reading to soothe your conscience. Because if you do that, you will be like the ignorant goat gazing on the hillside, ignorant still of the word of God. You cannot just read a few verses in the Bible and then tell your conscience, I've done it. No. Pastor Lily was hosting a sozo with this young lady. In the midst of the conversation, after the session of the sozo, Pastor Lily asked her, have you been following a Bible plan? And did God spoke to you? What did God speak to you? She answered, yes. And she took out her phone with the notes and she read to us what God has spoken to her. To me, that is something beautiful and real. To me, it comes to God's word. You have to incline to it. You have to apply your heart. You have to cry after it. You have to seek for it as silver. You have to search for it as a hidden treasure. Isaiah 29, 28, 9 and 10 said it so clearly. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then they are weaned from the milk. See, we cannot be feeding on milk all the while. And drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And there you will understand the word of God. When you go and eat like that, you will learn something. You will understand and find the knowledge of God. If you do and go deeper in, you will understand the deeper things of God. When the word of God is properly understood, it will be something both for the simple and the immature to receive. Also something for the great saints to rejoice and to be fed. No, I was doing my devotion just a few weeks ago. And one day God spoke so clearly to me that I am not to follow the law of this land, the law of this world. Deuteronomy, okay, I'm not saying that I have to go against them, but I will not follow the law of this world. Deuteronomy 18:3-4 says, and after the doing of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doing of the land of Canaan, two places are mentioned, Egypt and Canaan. Whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinance, shall you walk in their laws. You shall do my judgment and keep my ordinance, keep my law to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. I'm the Lord your God. Egypt has always represented the world. You all know that. Egypt has always represented the world. And Egypt has always represented sin. Therefore, the chief characteristics of the world is sin. Isn't it so correct? You look at the world. Their chief characteristics is sin. Canaan represents the location God has established you in your life. And here, it represents Elo City, your place of residence. We are not to follow the law of the world and even the law of Elo City. You know, Channel News Asia was voted the best news Asia in Asia recently. And they reported a Disney animated film, Lightyear, that is coming out soon, will be given an NC-16 rating in Singapore because of its LGBTQ content. Lightyear, this animated film, is a spin-off from the film Toy Story. Okay, I don't enjoy Toy Story. In fact, I didn't see one, but it's really Toy Story 4. Okay, because it's for children. It is an anime movie for children, Lightyear. We thank God for the government of Singapore who say that Disney should be sensitive to the social norm and values that are generally acceptable to members of the public. Children are being brainwashed to accept LGBTQ. I realize that a faithful follower of God has to study the Word of God. How are you going to know what is right, what is wrong? No, I'm asking you, how are you going to know what is right, what is wrong? You have to study the Word of God. And you have to know the Word of God as exposed, opposed to the law of this world. Daniel 7:25 says this, but he, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws that shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That means 3.5 years. Another translation said that this Antichrist will make alteration, in times and laws. Okay, this laws is not limited to religious law, but social law, sexual law, economic law, and so on. This race, he will try to force people to the people of God, and in the process, wear us out, to become more acceptable to the law of the world, and drastically changing traditions, drastically changing practices. This is actually what the Bible is saying. It's saying it is the beginning of the abomination of desolation. Many times I felt that we are fighting a losing battles. Am I correct? It's like there's a conspiracy. What the Bible says, they will wear us out. They will wear us out. Subtly changing the laws of this world. Affecting even the children. The faithful followers, listen carefully. The faithful followers are ingrained in the Word of God. I know that I cannot put tattoo on my body. Because the Bible tells me that. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do any question. You must be ingrained in the Lord of God. With the Word of God. And walk in them. Therefore, you can discern the right. from the wrong. The faithful followers, Yahweh will shield you from the influences of the law of the world, of the law of sin. There is a downward pull today. There's a downward pull, and it's getting stronger and stronger. Downward pull of the fallen world. There's a downward pull of the fallen culture. There's downward pull of the fallen acquaintances, the people you know. There's downward pull of the fallen self. There's a downward pull of this fallen Satan. Satan is strong, consistent, and pervasive. Only Christ's character, Yahweh's character, word and intervention can help us. And they are our only hope. Number three, take refuge in Yahweh. Psalms 2, 1 and 12 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You think carefully. The people of this world are raging. The people of this world are thinking of very vain thoughts. Isn't it so true that right now the people of the world are raging against the Lord of God? You are not allowed to read the Bible in the school. In Singapore, we are not allowed to be on the street to share the gospel to another person, because it is affecting the Muslim. We are not allowed to go to university and share the word of God. Psalms 2 is describing the rage of the world and the independence of the fallen human spirit. You know, today, if you study properly, there's such an independence of the fallen human spirit. And the Bible calls these are all vain things. These are all vain things. This will culminate in this. You cannot buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast, the 666, on the right hand or on your forehead. Psalms 2:12 warns the rebellious. God is telling them, don't think you are very smart. God is telling the world, don't think you are very smart. You better kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he become angry. The Son is Jesus Christ. Don't continue to go ahead with your sinful law of this world. You better love Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ get angry, you will perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled just by a little, blessed are those who put their trust in him. Yahweh is warning the rulers of this world and the people of this world to prepare to meet him. It seems that they are winning, but God said, no. You will be meeting me, and I'm coming towards you. You are to show discernment, telling the people of this world. You are to heed my warning. You are to worship me as the Lord of this world. You are to rejoice with trembling towards God. You have to do homage to the Son. You have to accept Christ as the personal Savior. Psalms 2:12 says, and for the faithful, blessed are those who put their trust in him. Another translation says, how blessed are those who take refuge in him. Blessed is the true believer or the faithful believer. You know, I just want to tell you something. We are the faithful believer. God is telling you how happy you are, how joyful you are if you reverence God, if you obey his revelation. Faith and faithfulness go together. Justification and sanctification cannot be separated. A faithful followers have faith in the Word of God. In the Word of God. We don't understand everything, but we have faith in the Word of God. A faithful follower is sanctified, cleansed, made clean by the Word of God, and not polluted by the law of this world. Psalms 2 accentuate, emphasize, highlight the human choices and the activities. You know, our life, our biblical faith is a life journey of trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. When you do that, you are literally taking refuge in Yahweh. The joy of taking refuge in Yahweh. Because Yahweh is described in several metaphors. He is our rock. He's our fortress. He's our stronghold. He's our deliverer. Don't let the world lie to you that he is not. He is. He is our shield. He's our horn of salvation. He's our mother hen. Those who defy God are broken. But those who depend on God are blessed. So make the choice. Give you the choice. You want to be broken or you want to be blessed. Number four, sins is forgiven. The faithful follower's sins is forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, in whose spirit there's no guile. No, on a deathbed, Empress Catherine the Great said, of Russia said, I shall be an autocrat. That's my trade. The good Lord will forgive me. That's his. You can be how powerful, how good. God, the forgiveness comes from God. Foresight, say this. You have to know the despair of guilt to appreciate the breathless wonders of forgiveness. These two verses give us three pictures of what God does to our life. First, the Lord does not count your sins against you. He acts as though they do not exist. Listen carefully. When you ask God to forgive you of your sin, He does not count your sin against you. He acts as though they do not exist. Second, they are covered. It is as if God get up his heavenly eraser and rub out all the sinful entries in your record. Just say, this is your book. He take out his heavenly eraser and he rub away all the sinful entries in your record. And he say, like the Message Bible say, the slate is wiped clean. Thirdly, they are forgiven. Literally, the word means they are removed. They are taken away. These pages relating to your sin are ripped and destroyed. The Message Bible is even better. You get a fresh start. You get a fresh start. That's what David means. The Apostle Paul quotes these Psalms as evidence that through the death of Jesus Christ, God credited you with the righteousness by faith. That forgiveness is not something you can get by good works, but something that has happened as a result of the cross. Because of the cross, God restored you to a right relationship with Him. Oh, the beauty of the cross. The beauty of being forgiven. And they can pray to Him. He becomes your hiding place. He protects you from trouble. He guides you with His unfailing love. This is not earned by good works. It comes from a person that put their trust in Him. You know, if you need forgiveness, you must read Psalms 32 and Psalms 51. Both are written by David. I love Psalms 32. I love Psalms 51. David committed adultery. David committed murder. Yet God says that David is the apple of his eyes. He committed adultery. He murdered people. God said, this is the apple of my eye. Why? Because of his repentance and his faith. That's why David said this. David said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. You know, Psalms 52 and Psalms 51 and Psalms 32 are two Psalms I frequently go back to when I need forgiveness of sin. Here David considered himself a blessed man because his sins are forgiven. You know what are the sins of David? A. Transgression. David intentionally broke the law, which is the will of God. Sin. Missing the mark, a set target. Again, not by ignorance. Willfully, David committed sin. Iniquity. Misdeed. He plotted the murder of, I forgot his name, the wife of Bathsheba, Uriah. Guilt appeared altogether. Deceit. Oh, he was treacherous. There was trickery. There was fault. And he joined force with Joab for the murder of Uriah. All these sins, David acknowledged. Yahweh forgiveness described as righteousness given to sinner. Based on God's mercy and repentance. This is why David said, it's beyond description to be forgiven. This morning, you should thank God, thank Jesus for dying for you. Jesus paid a high price. It requires a lamb. A lamb must be perfect. Jesus was that perfect lamb. That you see, the faithful followers' sins are forgiven. Number four, consider the poor. I'm finishing. Number five, consider the poor. Blessed is he that consider the poor. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. The Lord will preserve him. The Lord will keep him alive. The Lord, he shall be blessed upon the earth, and you will not deliver him into the will of his enemy. The Lord will strengthen him upon his deathbed, on his bed of languishing. They will make all his bed in his... You just think about it, okay? When you consider the poor, you are generous to the poor. So many things are written there. It's better to be generous to the poor. This verse describes the blessing of the person who obeys the Lord of God. And what is this person? You know, if you study properly, the faithful follower, one of the characteristics of a faithful follower is that they always consider the poor. They always think about the poor. So whenever you are thinking about the poor, you're doing something for the poor. You're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for God. And when you're doing it for God, you look at the tremendous blessing that comes upon a person. God says that, "I will even make sure that you'll not die. When you're sick, I'll make sure that you recover from your bed." That's what God is trying to say. Just simply because you consider the poor. You consider the poor. These verses, the term poor, that's why I thank Pastor Lily for this, helping the poor, feeding the poor. The term poor is mentioned here. The widow, the orphan. You consider the widow. You consider the orphan. I want to tell you, when you are led by God to help someone and you wonder whether it's yourself or it's God, you go and do it. Just think that you are doing it for God, not for these people. The alien, the stranger, the blind and the lame. Those that are socially powerless. Those that are landless. Those that are homeless. Those that are bereaved of worldly possession. They don't have any worldly possession. They don't have food. They don't have shelter. They don't have work, etc. These are the people. God said, if you consider these people, they are translated as the economic poor. But also, it is in a broader way. It's the ideas of those people that are weak and helpless in life. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The poor intended here are such as poor in substance, but not just poor in substance, weak in bodily strength, despised in reputation, despondent in spirit." Those people, they are despondent in spirit, they are the poor, and if you help them, that's why the Bible says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." If you consider the poor, yours is the kingdom of God. You shall join the poor into the kingdom of God. F.B. Mayer say, "There are plenty around you who, if not poor in the things of this world, they are poor in love, they are poor in hope, they are poor in the knowledge of God." What did Yahweh say he will do for this obedient follower? God will deliver him in the day of trouble. God said, "I will deliver you in the day of trouble. If there's a COVID, I will be there. If there's a war, I will be there. If the stupid petrol is bringing up Jimmy's fares, I will be there. If you are affected financially, I will be there. If you are in trouble in your family, I will be there. I will deliver you in the day of trouble." That means that day of trouble, I will deliver you in the day of trouble. I will protect you. I will keep you alive. I will keep you alive. You know, my mom is 82, 86. She's weakly. I don't want my mom to die before my enemies. So I go to my mom's house with Pastor Lily. Pastor Lily told my mom, "You will see your great-grandchild." She said that, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. Joy is on the way. My mom is still alive. And this September, my mom will literally see her great-grandchild. I pray that God, there was one time she was really sick, I thought she's dying. So Pastor Lily and me, we went to the house and we prayed, "God," you know, I pray, "God, let not her die before the enemy." Say, "God, you preserve her. You preserve her. She's still alive. My mom is still alive." Yahweh will keep him alive. He will be caught blessed, Yahweh will not give him over to his enemies. God will not make you shameful in front of your enemies. Your enemies will be ashamed in the end. As a matter of fact, Yahweh will sustain you on your deathbed and restore you to health. You know, it's how one lives, how one speaks, how one allocates his resources, how you live, the poor. How you speak, for the poor. How you allocate the resources, for the poor. It talks about the prior commitment of the heart. It's talking about caring for the poor. Okay, I'm finishing. I don't want to finish other point because I have no time, okay? You talk about the faithful follower knows the joy and walk in the light of Yahweh's countenance. The faithful follower finds wisdom. The faithful follower fears God. In conclusion, the Bible has given us the truth about the faithful follower. What God needs in the last day is a faithful follower. No, I remember Annas. She was always in the temple serving God and serving God and serving God. I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years. I cannot remember. Then one day Christ come. God said, you will see your Savior. And she saw the Savior. Why? There's only one characteristic about her. She was faithful. Is she successful? No. She was in the temple. She was a widow. She was there her whole life. Just faithful. How about you? You come to church, faithful. Faithful. You don't give trouble, but you are faithful. You play a part, you help the ministry of God. You are faithful. You know what is the thing that carries us, that make God very, very pleased with us? I'm telling you, it's not success. It's faithfulness. The Bible has given us the truth about the faithful followers. They are disciplined by Shaddai. They know and they obey God's word. They take refuge in Him. Their sins are forgiven. And they consider the poor. How many of us have successfully done all these things? To be honest, many a times we fail miserably. That is where we need to look up to Jesus on the cross. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He faithfully followed God onto the cross, taking all the sins with Him. He was faithful to God and to us, even to the death, so that we can have His faithfulness to be what we want. He wants us to be, to be, do what He wants us to do. You look at the disciples of Jesus Christ. They were totally different after Jesus was resurrected. They were faithful even unto the end. Because Christ was faithful, He was able to help us to become faithful through the power of the Holy Spirit to do what He wants us to do. And that is to be faithful to Him even unto the end. What you need today against the law of this world, against the fallen culture, against the fallen Satan, against the fallen self, is to be a faithful follower. And Christ has done that. He said, I will make you willing. I will make you faithful in the day of my power. In the day of my power. So I just want to tell you, don't get discouraged. Thank God. Thank Christ for dying on the cross so that you can be a faithful follower. What this church needs is to be faithful. To be faithful. To be faithful. And God said, I will take care of you. I will be with you. Your trouble, I'll take care of your trouble. I'll make sure that when you're sick, you will recover. I'll make sure that when you're in trouble, I will deliver you out of it. It's so beautiful to be faithful. With Him are the called, the chosen, the faithful. Well, the book of Revelation to the seven churches, to Him that overcome. You know what's the meaning? To Him they are faithful. That's the meaning. To Him they are faithful. Will I give them the bread of manna? Will I give them a crown? Will I give them this? Will I give them that? So I want to challenge you. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. And if you fail, you have a Savior to help you, empower you to be faithful. Shall we close our eyes? Musician, can you come and help me? The faithful follower. Brothers and sisters, God is asking something from you. God is asking you not to be faithless. Because when you are faithless, you will become bitter. Because when you are faithless, you will tell lies. Because you are faithless, you will be deceptive. God said, I don't want you to be faithless. I want you to be faithful today. I want you to be faithful today. He said, Pastor, how am I going to do it? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, who went to the cross, faithfully going to the cross, so that he can make you faithful also. Shall we stand up? Shall we all stand up and sing a song and worship God? And worship God.
Your eye is on the sparrow. And your hand.
Let this song be your prayer this morning. And Jesus is here. And you will hear your prayer. If it comes from the sincerity of your heart. He can cleanse you today. He can forgive you if you have failed. But he wants a sincere heart today. Let this song be from your heart. Let's sing.
Of God. Brothers and sisters, today's topic is on faithfulness. And if we are not careful, we may think that this faithfulness is churned by us. We use our very own moralistic effort to earn God's favor, to earn God's blessedness. And this morning I just want to tell you, you and me, or you and I, we all cannot be faithful until we see how much faithfulness Jesus has exhibited for you and me. And do you know the extent that He went through just to be faithful to you? I want you right now to imagine 2,000 years ago, Jesus has never been separated from His Father God. There's always such a coexistence and unity between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, especially the Father and the Son. But because of our unfaithfulness, we need a Savior and a Redeemer to pay the price of our iniquities, our transgression, our sin, our treachery. And that payment is death. And so our Savior Jesus, He chose to lose His Father than to lose you and me by dying on the cross. That is the great faithfulness He exhibited for you and me. And this faithfulness extends even above the cosmic universe, even above the clouds, the faithfulness of God to you. If you can catch the extensive and expansive faithfulness of Jesus, then today you will not let things on your right, things on your left, people that are good, people that are bad, to veer you away from your calling, from your chosenness, and from your faithfulness to God. I know that many times we think that our church attendance will be a checkpoint, a checklist in all the things that will make God happy. It is not about you. It's about Christ's faithfulness to you today that can make you faithful to Him. I mean, look at Pastor Tony and me. We are here almost coming to 36 years. You think it's us? You think it's our obedience? No. It's because when we were very, very young, both of us, we caught the gospel. We saw how much, how deep and how big our debt is to our Jesus. And yet, He never abandons both of us. He forgave us. And out of love, we render our life as a burnt offering. And it's not easy to let your life burn and burn totally and completely to God. But we could do it because we saw how Christ so faithfully has given Himself up for us. And today, brothers and sisters, you can only be the faithful followers if you know how much anguish He had to give, how much anguish He had to suffer, and how much fellowship and unity He had to give up between He and His Father just to be faithful to you. Just to be faithful to you. And right now, in turn, let's all come at the foot of the cross and give our life as a faithful follower to Him, as a faithful offering to Him. It's the least we can do to show our gratitude to our faithful Savior. Thank you, Lord. There's a song, Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Da 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 da. Yes.
Let's Let's sing. Let's sing.
Yes. Yes. Followers, Christ has already undergone every single one of them. He was disciplined on the cross for you and me, so that today when you are disciplined by the Lord, chastised by the Lord, you will not die, because He has taken the death for you. He has delighted in the will of God, even becoming the living Word, the living Lamb that was sacrificed for you and me, so that today when we read the Word of God, Christ is alive in us. He has considered the poor by being poor Himself, so that today you as the poor, you can rejoice because you have the kingdom of God. Today, see the faithfulness of God. See the faithfulness of Christ. He has gone through every facet for you and me. And today, if you have failed in any one of them, there's no condemnation for you. All you need to do is like this song say, you cry to Him. You cry to Him for the strength and the power to fulfill the calling, to come under the potter's hand. We are all called. We are the chosen. We are the faithful. Don't just do it by name. Live it out. Live it out. And you can do it. Because Christ has not left you desolate. He has given you the power of the Holy Spirit within you. So that today, the faithfulness of God can be compounded and empowered in you. That you can endure until the end. And when you endure until the end by being faithful, you shall receive the crown of life.
Amen.
The crown of life. Brothers and sisters, the faithfulness, this character, this virtue, is the middle name of Jesus Christ. You can never see Him apart from His faithfulness. And His faithfulness to you will amaze you. His faithfulness to you will humble you. His faithfulness to you will stir you even more to serve Him without question, without grumbling, without calculating. The spirit of faithfulness from Christ is here. And to any one of you today who have this faith, you can link to His faithfulness. He has died in faithfulness to you, so you can live in faithfulness to Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Father,
thank you,
right
Lord.
Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, according to your word, you say, and we know that the faithfulness of Jesus is here. Therefore, all of us right now, we link to the faithfulness of Jesus. So that the faithfulness of Jesus is transferred from His bodily being into each and every one of us. That we have the faithfulness of God inside us because of Jesus Christ. Father, right now, I pray and I take authority. I breathe upon them right now, the faithfulness of Jesus. Receive right now the faithfulness of Jesus, that you can be faithful for His glory. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you very much.